7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz.
Woo!
I like how you could not wait to open that beer until after the music started playing. But again, everybody, thank you for joining us for this episode. It is going to be the NFC East, the last team in the division, which is the Dallas Cowboys. Again, if you haven't checked out the other episodes, do yourself a favor, check them out. We break down a little bit of fantasy, a little bit about free agency, about the draft, and where we think that team is going to finish at the end of the season. Again, we are Pony Cake Sports. Follow us on Twitter at Pony Cake Sports, at Pony Cake Tim, at Pony Cake Tom. Email us, ponycakesports@gmail.com. Also, check us out on our website, ponycakesports.com, and also check out our buddies on cleatgeeks.com. You can find them on Twitter at CleatGeeks. Let them know we are the ones that sent you. They got a bunch of articles, all that good stuff. Good stuff over there. They got a couple good baseball ones that they just added to the team, so check out all their stuff as well.
I am so happy to be talking to our Dallas fans now, because after yesterday, I received death threats from the New York Football Giants fans because I said that they were going to finish 6-10, potentially 5-11. So I'm glad to be here in Dallas, you know, where we're a little bit more used to a winning record, and you're able to talk things out a little bit more.
Let's start that off. We have the Dallas Cowboys led by none other than quarterback Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott, running back. And Dallas last year finished on the year 13-3, 7-1 at home, which was the same home record as the New York Giants, as we talked about last episode. Their road record was a very good 6-2. Division was only a 3-3 record, but their conference overall was a 9-3. The one big number that I see here is their points for and their points against. 421 points for them and 306 against. Pretty good numbers, a difference of 115. So, solid job.
They were pretty dominant last season. They're kind of bringing back that running backs do matter. Running the football matters, and that it can go to, it can move to winning football. And that's exactly what they've done in Dallas. They've been investing heavily in that offensive line, invested a high pick in Ezekiel Elliott. Got pretty lucky with the whole Dak Prescott situation when Tony Romo went down, but they've been drafting really good, and Jerry Jones has been one of the best GMs in football the last few years.
Yeah, Josh touched on it, a plus 115 point differential, the best by far. The closest to them in the NFC East was plus 36 by the last place Philadelphia Eagles, so great for the Dallas Cowboys, you know, with not a very great defense, which they helped improve here in the offseason. Fantasy relevance, you talked about Ezekiel Elliott. We'll get touch on that more a little bit here later. But what a great year outside of not getting to the end game of the Super Bowl for the Dallas Cowboys.
Again, quarterback is – or not quarterback, I'm sorry. The coach is none other than Jason Garrett. So I think he's going to be there for a while. Proven nothing else. Teams going to the playoffs each and every year so far. So let's talk about a little bit of the free agency that they have had so far. Let's go with some of the guys that they have gotten rid of. And we're going to start it off with Mark Sanchez, of course.
Big loss.
Big loss. He goes to the great Chicago Bears to possibly be the third or fourth quarterback on the team. Give him some veteran presence there on that team.
Heck, he might start for the Bears.
There's a good possibility.
I told you guys that I am okay with it because they get to teach one Mitchell Trubisky how not to be a quarterback. They just basically have Sanchez go out there, do what he does, and every time he throws a pass, they slap Trubisky on the wrist with a ruler and say, no, that's not what you do.
Gavin Escobar, the tight end that they've had for a while, he goes to Kansas City for a one-year deal. Lance Dunbar, he leaves, goes to the Rams for a one-year, $1.5 million deal. Ryan Davis, D-end, goes to Buffalo for a two-year deal, $2.2 million. Morris Claiborne, who cannot stay healthy whatsoever, signs with the Jets for a one-year deal, $5 million. They've lost a lot of guys this offseason. J.J. Wilcox, free safety, he goes to Tampa Bay for a two-year, $6.25 million deal. Jack Crawford, D-end, goes to Atlanta for a three-year, $8.8 million.
$1 million deal. McClain, D tackle, goes to Washington for a 4-year deal. Brandon Carr, corner, leaves, goes to Baltimore for a 4-year deal, $23.5 million. Barry Church, strong safety, Jacksonville, 4-year. Actually, I totally even forgot he even went to Jacksonville. 4-year deal, $26 million. And then Ron Leary, guard, goes to Denver Broncos, 4-year, $36 million.
Is this the obituaries?
A lot of people.
Holy Jesus.
A lot of people.
You forgot one.
What's that?
Tony Romo. You may have heard of him. He was a quarterback, one of the greatest ever.
Yeah, did not make the PGA cut a couple weeks ago.
He will be making his announcing debut this weekend for whatever golfing event that is. I'm not up on my golf ticks, but one of our friends, Three Toe Kev, he hits up all the time on Twitter. He likes to follow golf, so.
Three Toe Kev?
Big shout out.
That's his Twitter name, at Three Toe Kev.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
No,
it is. I can't make this stuff up. That's his Twitter
name. That is his Twitter handle.
No. Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, let's talk about some of the acquisitions that they had. That is absolutely outrageous. But we have Kellen Moore signs with the Dallas Cowboys. 1-year deal. He was already a Cowboy. He was hurt last year. Darren McFadden re-signs. 1-year deal. Those two contracts are under $1 million each. Moore, DN, comes from the Seahawks, 2-year deal, $1.65 million. Stephen Paella, a former Chicago Bear, he signs with the Cowboys, 1-year, $2 million. Last year he played for the Browns. Brian Bell, tackle, 1-year, $2 million. Nolan Carroll, corner, they needed somebody at corner depth wise possibly even a starter. Dallas, 3-year, $10 million deal. Terrence Williams, wide receiver, 4-year deal.
They really didn't make any big-time splashes in free agency. They were hurting in the cap department. But overall, the Cowboys are still a good team. They've drafted well, and they've kind of been raising their own. And that's kind of the best scenario for any GM and any football team. A lot of these guys that are on this team are homegrown talent.
They lost a ton of guys, added a few pieces in free agency, and still are the overwhelming favorite, in my opinion, for the NFC East. I like what they did in the offseason, honestly.
Yeah, the biggest one, money-wise, re-signing, is that Terrence Williams won 4 years for $17 million, average of $4.25 million, if you guys couldn't figure out that math.
You get that from our stats guy, Joe?
But regardless, is... he's a very underwhelming wide receiver, and they're paying him that much money to be their quote-unquote still number two. That is not that good.
I'm really shocked that Dallas fans didn't murder him after his what he did in the first game of the season, where he caught that pass and could have ran out of bounds to give the Cowboys a chance to kick a field goal to tie or win the football game, and he just decided to dive and lose the game for him. But yeah, he hasn't been much with Dallas. They drafted him to be that number two guy behind Dez Bryant, and that's kind of what he has been, but really hasn't lived up to their expectations, hasn't helped keep a lot of the heat off Dez. Dez is the one dominant factor there for them still.
There are a few things we love here more at Pony Keg Sports than post week one murder, but with that being said, they're keeping him for a reason. He either adds something to the locker room, he adds some type of presence. He might have some sort of relationship with Dak. Who knows? I don't think the Cowboys are just going to throw money at him just because, hey, he's a nice guy and he ties people's shoes on the sidelines sometimes. Listen, he might not be the overwhelming, you know, he's probably best-case scenario the third wide receiver, right? I mean, behind Dez, behind Cole, and he's probably right around three, maybe four wide receivers. So they're keeping him for a reason. It was a little bit confusing, to be perfectly honest, but... you know what? They did what they had to do.
All right, enough of the free agency talk. Let's move on to some of the other playmakers that they may have drafted. 2017 NFL Draft, Tom.
The Cowboys were lucky. Their two biggest need areas, in my opinion, of this offseason were adding to the defensive back group and the edge rusher group. Both positions were absolutely stacked in this draft class. They used the first-round selection on one Taco Charlton, edge rusher from Michigan. Taco isn't the prototypical end that the Cowboys tend to draft. It was possibly their fifth or sixth edge rusher on their board. but they desperately needed to add talent to that positional group. He's not going to beat many people with bend and speed, but he's going to win with leverage, power, and his dominant hands. Dallas is going to need to teach this guy how to play mean, get him angry, and I have all the faith in Rod Marinelli to get that out of him. He's done wonders with far less talent, and Taco's a good fit there. I think he's got a chance to get into the rotation early and make some impact, and they just lost another D-end for a four-game suspension in David Irving. So they're desperately going to need Taco to step up and play week one.
When you say not the prototypical end that the Cowboys are used to drafting, do you mean that he doesn't throw his girlfriend on a bed full of guns and threaten her life? Is that what you're getting at?
That is part of it.
I digress. Taco Charlton, I was a big fan of, much more so than you guys. I thought he would have been a perfect fit for the Atlanta Falcons, but fits in perfectly with the Dallas Cowboys as well. He's going to go in there. I feel like going to be an immediate difference maker. He's going to have to work on his run defense. But lucky for him, there's not a lot of great running backs in that NFC East. So for at least six games a year, he shouldn't really have to worry about it outside of playing Washington. So he's going to be able to get after those quarterbacks, and we'll be able to see what happens for him.
He's going to be an immediate contributor to this defense and this team in general. So like you said, Rod Marinelli, he gets the most out of the defensive players and the players that he does coach. And Taco Charlton, coming from Michigan, is a very coachable guy. So we'll see what happens. I think he'll have a good year.
As Josh brought up earlier, the Cowboys lost cornerbacks Brandon Carr, Maurice Claiborne, lost safeties Barry Church, J.J. Wilcox. To say that they needed to address the secondary is an understatement. In the second round, they hit a home run with Chidobe Awuzie from Colorado.
God bless you.
He's a cornerback. He's a corner that can play outside. He's got the size for that, but he's also got the quickness to play inside. Real versatile cornerback, positive player in the run game, and a fantastic blitzer from the slot. He had 8 sacks over the past 2 seasons, which is a pretty high number for a player that isn't blitzing on 100% of the snaps or going after the quarterback. He's not a big-time ball hawk corner. That's the reason, in my opinion, that he lasted so late in the second round. A lot of people had him pegged as a late first-round pick, and he only had 3 interceptions over the past 3 years. But overall, a solid addition, another guy who can step up day one and be a contributor on the defensive side of the football.
It's another case, and you're going to hear it over and over and over again during these breakdowns, with how deep the cornerback position was. Fantastic fit for the Cowboys. I mean, they're talking the 60th overall pick. They get a guy like Chidobe. I feel like they couldn't run their ticket up there fast enough to say that they wanted to bring him on board. Going to be an immediate impact player, going to be a fantastic asset for the Dallas Cowboys.
Do you think that he is going to be strictly a corner? Do you think he could slide over to the safety spot if they need him to?
I think he's going to do a little bit of everything, but he does. He's got that skill set that if they're in a pinch and they need a safety, he could probably play that. I think his best role is going to be in the nickel cornerback inside in the slot, though.
Agree 100% with everything that Tom just said.
I think the other reason why is because of the guy that we're going to talk about next.
Yeah, in the third round, the Cowboys doubled down, probably their biggest area of need, and they drafted cornerback Jordan Lewis. He's another versatile corner, played a lot on the outside for Jim Harbaugh at Michigan, but he also played in the inside in the slot. It's kind of a theme for Dallas, getting those versatile DBs that can do a little bit of everything. Jordan Lewis flourished under Jim Harbaugh's tough system. He's more of a playmaker, had 6 interceptions, 28 pass breakups in the last 3 seasons. Another solid tackler, isn't going to be a hindrance for that secondary stopping the run. Real good at mirroring wide receivers and doesn't allow them to get a lot of separation. At 5'10", though, he might struggle against some of the bigger wide receivers in the NFL, struggled in college against them. He had some off-the-field domestic violence issues as well. But overall, this guy, he slid down the draft boards because of his off-the-field issues. Should have been taken in the second round. And due to this stacked cornerback class and his off-the-field issues, he slid, and Dallas got another steal.
They definitely got a steal. Jordan with a U. Interesting spelling, interesting player. Obviously, like Tom mentioned, the domestic violence stuff is a big negative, but talent-wise, you can't deny what he has. Comes from a big school, is going another guy who's going to be able to come in there right away. He's going to start for them. He's going to get beat up a lot because of his size. The wide receiver size in the NFC East is big, so he's going to struggle a little bit, but he's going to be given the opportunity to grow and succeed on that defense.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, they needed the draft corner. They did. They let their two starters go in Claiborne and Carr. And getting Lewis and getting Awuzie, those two guys are, you know, it just makes sense. You needed to attack with the secondary with your picks, and that's exactly what they did.
The fourth round, they added a Cole Beasley clone, Mr. Ryan Switzer from North Carolina. In all honesty, I think this move is all about replacing Cole Beasley in the future. Beasley's going to be due to get paid some money, and Dallas isn't going to have that money to pay this guy. He's going to be due probably $5-plus mil a year. Some team's going to pay him, and Ryan Switzer's going to step in and do the exact same thing Cole Beasley does for a lot cheaper. I like the player, special teams kid. He was Mitchell Trubisky's safety blanket in college, but the prototypical slot corner or slot wide receiver.
I'm not a big fan of this pick at all, to be perfectly honest. I don't know what they're going to do with him for these 2 years until Cole Beasley's gone. Listen, Cole Beasley is it would be over a $4 million cap hit going in 2018. He's a $4.5 million cap hit this year. He's not going to be someone that they're going to be able to get rid of. So you draft someone who potentially could be Cole Beasley in 2019. Doesn't make a ton of sense to me. I feel like they could have also continued to address the defensive side of the football, continue to address that secondary like they did with their previous two picks. I liked what they did prior to this. Not the biggest of fans for this.
Right now at OTAs, they're talking a lot about Ryan Switzer and about how great he's been looking in practice, looking a lot bigger than his frame of 5'9", 181 pounds. He can stretch the field. He's playing a lot bigger than he is, and we'll see what happens. Again, to your point, Tim, very good point. Why would you draft a guy that is going to replace a guy in 2 years? Maybe they cut him before then. Maybe they take the cap hit. Maybe
it's $4.5 mil?
You got to also remember, Cole Beasley was also a guy that was considered to retire, 2 years ago? Maybe even 3 years ago? Because of all the concussions he's had. So who knows what happens in that point in time.
In the sixth round, Cowboys went and addressed the defensive side of the football again. This is my favorite pick for the Dallas Cowboys. Safety, Xavier Woods.
Preach!
He's a playmaker. 14 interceptions, 9 fumble recoveries while in college. I don't think he's going to play right away, but he's got that dog in him. He's a guy you're going to want to bring to battle. And getting him in the sixth round is an absolute steal, especially for a team that needs DBs so bad. He's going to find his way on the football team, going to be a special teams contributor. But I think Marinelli's going to absolutely love this kid, and I wouldn't be shocked if he's getting significant snaps come midseason for the Dallas Cowboys.
Tom, you took the words right out of my mouth. Also my favorite pick for the Cowboys in this draft. Listen, this is someone who is going to be the backup free safety right now, but a 4-year starter out of Louisiana Tech.
Yep.
Right? A 4-year starter. Very successful. He's had where are we at here? 14 total career interceptions?
Yep.
Yeah, 14 career interceptions, 5 last year. A guy who is going to be a difference maker 2 to 3 years from now. Someone who's going to contribute this year. I love this pick for them in the sixth round. If they would have added someone like this in the fifth round as well, instead of someone like Switzer, I would have been, or was it a fourth round for Switzer? Yeah,
yeah.
Fourth round for Switzer. I would have been much happier about their draft, but love this pick. Joshua?
I'm good. I like it.
All right.
The final pick, they got Joey Ivey, defensive tackle. He's a guy, not the most physically gifted defensive tackle out there. Motor runs hot. If Caleb Brantley had this kid's motor at Florida, he would have been a top 10 pick. That's the kind of player Joey Ivey is. He's going to thrive under Rod Marinelli. Might freaking see snaps. They do not have much depth on that defensive line. He was brought in, though, as a depth piece right now. But Marinelli's going to like how this kid plays, and he just screams Marinelli football.
Caleb Brantley just happy not to be in prison right now, so he's looking like he'll be a part of the Cleveland Browns. And Joey Ivey never had to worry about that, but he's scheduled to slot in right behind Malik Collins on the defensive tackle position. Listen, like you said, there's not a lot of depth there for the Dallas Cowboys. There's going to be probably a big rotation. I see Ivey definitely getting some snaps this year.
Overall, I'm giving this Cowboys draft an A-.
Wow.
It's the highest grade I've given. I think they did a very good job addressing needs positions without reaching much in this draft. I think they've got 3 to 4 guys who come in and start, give significant amount of snaps to this team in general. Absolutely love the Xavier Woods pick. I really like the Switzer, the Ivy pick, and getting those two cornerbacks was huge for Dallas.
I like the draft a lot, Tom. I'm not going to totally knock it. They have a lot of guys who will see playing time throughout the year. They addressed all of their needs, which a lot of the other teams in the NFC East did not. With that being said, they don't have an obvious week one starter. They don't have an immediate impact guy. So I cannot give an A for someone who's not going to definitely start week one. I will give a B+.
Yeah, I was looking at the Switzer comment that you made with him being drafted in the 4th round and possibly going with a safety there instead. Looking at the draft, going down the list, there was no safety taken again all the way until the 5th round, pick 41 in the 5th round.
What about corners?
Corners.
Any DB.
Yeah, so corners, you're looking at the top corners before him or after him is going to be Desmond King and Corn Elder. Now, Desmond King, in my opinion, probably could have slid in there.
If you're the Dallas Cowboys,
He could play your slot corner. He could play your safety. He could play your safety in the box. He could play a little bit of corner. Whatever you need him to do, that would have made some sense. But again, kind of a reach. But at the same time, I understand where they're going.
And listen, Ryan Switzer is the type of guy who could potentially go in there and be a big-time valuable asset for the Dallas Cowboys. So it's not so much as Josh throws his headphones across the Pony Keg Sports Studio. He's not, I'm not, no knock on him whatsoever. He very well could be a valuable asset for them. But someone like Desmond King, like you said, I would have loved him for the Dallas Cowboys at that spot.
Man, Desmond King got a kind of a bad deal in this draft.
Hell yeah, he did.
That kid was a first-round pick last season.
Yep.
Blows my mind. I like their draft a lot. Filled a lot of needs. DM with Taco. You got
he ended
Awuzie.
Up on the Packers, right?
Chargers.
Okay. Yeah. Awuzie, Lewis, Switzer, Woods, White. Marquez White I like. Even Noah Brown all the way in the 7th round. He's probably going to be a special teams guy, but at the same time, he reminds me a lot of the wide receiver that they signed in free agency, which is the wide receiver that they've had in Terrence Williams. Noah Brown is... He could be pretty much the same thing that Terrence Williams is, plus younger. So, who knows? I like their draft. I give them an A- on that. I think it was a very good draft. Filled a lot of needs that they needed to fill.
You guys handing out A's like it's your virginity.
It's our first one out of 8.
Like it's your virginity. That's an A. They don't even have a starter in that draft. You're going to call it an A?
Taco Charlton, Awuzie.
He's not a starter right now.
I think Lewis. He's going to be.
You think?
Awuzie and Lewis are going to be starters.
And I think Taco will be as well. So that's 3, Tim.
We'll see week one.
Next up, let's talk about fantasy football with the idiot Tim.
All right, idiot Tim here. Thank you so much, Snacks. Let's start with the quarterback. This is my main focus on fantasy. One, Dak Prescott. So I've always been a little bit of a downer on Dak, right? Thinking that the whole offense has been run through Zeke, that Dak gets kind of... built up more than what he actually is. And going through a game-by-game breakdown, his actual stats, Dak Prescott is damn impressive. Ranked in the top 10 in power rankings, over 3,600 yards passing, 23 touchdowns, only 4 interceptions. Out of a rookie quarterback, you're thrilled. It's a game manager using what you have. He had 6 games of 20-plus points. 6. You know where that ranks him in the NFC East in quarterbacks? With Eli Manning, with Kirk Cousins, with Carson Wentz. Number 1. The most out of anyone in the NFC East. I was shocked going through all of this. No 30-plus point games, so nothing that, blew you out of the water. Still not necessarily someone that I am willing to draft. It's definitely someone, whether it may be late in the draft or as a flyer, I would love. But Dak Prescott's someone you have to reconsider. Zeke gets all the love. Dez Bryant gets all the love. Other people get a ton of love. Dak Prescott is definitely someone who you should be looking at for your fantasy football team.
Yeah, Dak, fantasy-wise, was freaking amazing last year.
I'm sorry, Tom. I need to interrupt you one more time. I forgot one of the most impressive things. 6 rushing touchdowns as well.
That's exactly what I was about to bring up. I was going to say a lot of his fantasy relevance was due to his rushing ability. He's a fantastic rushing quarterback, finds himself in the end zone quite often. And that powerful run game, that helps a young quarterback out so much. Dak Prescott wasn't put in many bad situations where he was forced trying to come back. Most of the time they had the game in hand. They were able to run play-action passes. They weren't predictable. Teams weren't able to just key in on the pass. That's a huge part for Dak Prescott and his success in the NFL and in fantasy, and I don't see that going away. Zeke Elliott is fantastic. Probably, in my opinion, he deserved to be Rookie of the Year last year. Probably Dallas Cowboys MVP. Everything that kid can do is absolutely amazing. One of the best backs in the NFL right now.
We're talking quarterback time. Save your stroking for later.
I just love me some Zeke Elliott.
We'll get there, son. We'll get there. But
Dak Prescott, he's kind of polarizing. I've done a lot of mocks lately. I've seen him taken in the 6th round as quarterback 5. I've seen him taken in the 10th round as quarterback 10. Seems like if there's a Dallas Cowboy fan in the draft room, he goes early. And if there's not, he slides down. But I like him somewhere in the middle. If I'm getting him as quarterback 7 or 8, I feel comfortable with him. I think he's not going to win you a ton of games, but he's not going to lose you a ton of games either. He's going to come close to that 20-point mark quite often, and I think he's only going to get better.
Do you think his 6 rushing touchdowns from last year, does he improve on that, or does he decrease?
I think it'll be somewhere between 5 and 8, but we saw Russell Wilson a lot in his earlier part of his career have to rely on the rushing game a lot, and that's what made him so fantasy viable. But I think Dak's going to continue running the football. They do a lot of quarterback sneaks, quarterback draws, bootlegs to get him in the end zone that way. And teams have to respect the Cowboys' running attack.
Yeah, speaking of Russell Wilson in his first year as a rookie, that was a big thing. They protected him a lot, and they didn't want him to throw the ball a lot.
They had a solid rushing game in Marshawn Lynch.
Exactly.
Who likes Skittles?
Maybe we'll see that trend continue. I don't see the 6 touchdowns this year. I see about maybe 4 or 5, but I think the 6 is a large number. Rushing yards, I can see right about the same rushing yards as well.
My question to you guys is, so obviously sophomore slump is a real thing in the NFL. We see it all the time. In Dak Prescott, do you see obviously a fantastic offensive line, a Pro Bowl fantastic running back in Ezekiel Elliott? They have stars at the wide receiver position. Do we see somewhere similar last year, 323.6 fantasy points? Do we see him stay the same, decrease, increase? What do you guys think?
I don't think he's ever going to be that elite quarterback option like the Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck. I don't think he's going to be put in that situation to pass all the time. So either I'd say he's going to decline a little bit.
Well, with standard, he scored 287 points, but I think he's going to be right about there. So
interested to see if he improves or declines. Obviously, just right under the 300 total point mark. The 6 rushing touchdowns, I don't think is going to happen. He'll probably be more closer to 3 or 4. Obviously, not a huge thing, but you're talking about somewhere around 25-30 point swing. You know, puts him closer to 250 if he produces the same as he did in the passing game. Listen, 23-4, that ratio does not happen all the time in the NFL. Look for his interception tally to rise a little bit. We'll see what happens.
Well, let me ask you. He finished 6th last year. Where do you feel comfortable drafting him? You said as a backup, right?
Yeah.
And you?
Between 8th and 10th quarterback off the board.
Now, what round are you considering him in? In the 9th round? 10th round?
That'd feel good there.
So, yeah, round specific, I don't know, quarterback-wise, I take him right outside of those starters, right? So somewhere between 12 and 15 is his total ranking for the end of the year.
Okay. All right, sounds good.
Let's go to, you know what, before we get to wide receivers, let's talk tight end, because tight end is very, very interesting, because they have one, Jason Witten, who they just paid entirely too much money to, in my opinion. They gave him 4 years, a bunch of money, and not a ton of production out of him. Obviously, he had just under 700 yards, 3 touchdowns. Had a fumble in there. Only 83 fantasy points last year. What are you guys' opinion on Jason Witten?
I am not drafting him at all. He's probably close to my tight end 20. I just don't see the upside in him. One hell of a football player, and I think that deal, I don't think there's much guaranteed money in it, but it was kind of just like, thank you for everything you've done for the Cowboys type deal.
Did you know that Jason Witten had one, or I take that back, two games over 7.6 points?
That's exactly why I'm not drafting him.
One of them was 9.3, the other one was 19.4. Not someone who I think anyone should be looking for if they're looking at tight end, but that's just me. Joshua, do you have anything to add on Jason Witten?
Yeah, not much, to be honest. I'd probably stay right there.
Tom?
Yeah.
The crazy thing is, with a rookie quarterback like Dak Prescott, last year I was thinking that Jason Witten was going to have a really good year. I thought he was going to be that safety blanket, be that old reliable guy in the middle of the field in the red zone, and they didn't use him like that. And I think Dak's only going to grow as a player. He's going to take more risks. He obviously didn't take a lot last year, made a lot of the right decisions, but Jason Witten just isn't the same type of football player that he used to be.
Yeah, with ESPN's standard scoring, he'd scored around 83 points, like we said. But with the new ESPN scoring set at PPR, he would be not the 14th ranked, he'd be the actual 11th ranked tight end. So he moves into the starting caliber tight end that you would want to draft, I guess, in a sense. Dak Prescott does check the ball down. And when he does check it down, it's either to a Cole Beasley or it is to a Jason Witten. So maybe this year, if Jason Witten's still fully healthy, we may see a lot of checkdowns. But it all depends with how you feel with the new rules. It's tough with the new set, the standings, or the settings for the PPR being standard. It's really tough.
And that's if you go that route. I'm sorry, with the parity in the position of tight end, I do not see Jason Witten being over the or closer than higher than top 15, even with PPR. I feel like you're going to see a pretty big drop in his production. Let's move on here to the wide receivers. You know, last year was, yes, I'm avoiding Zeke, just so you know. Let's move on to the wide receivers. And Cole Beasley, Dez Bryant, the two kind of obvious faces there for the Dallas Cowboys. Obviously, you had Dez, who missed four games last year, still was able to have a very, very productive season, finished 25th overall. So still in that top 30 ranking for a wide receiver, close to a number two wide receiver rank with missing four games. He passed for a touchdown. Don't know if you guys recall that, but he passed for a touchdown. Just a sea hair shy of 800 yards, eight touchdowns. What are your thoughts on Dez Bryant?
I was a little worried at the start of the year last year. Dez and Dak really didn't seem to click, but the end of the season when Dez came back healthy in the playoffs, Dez kind of reasserted himself as the go-to guy in Dallas. He's still young enough. He's getting older in age. I think he's 28 or 29. He's still got a lot of miles left on those tires right now. I think Dez is going to be fine. Most likely he'll be taken in the second round in drafts, close to anywhere between the 8th and 10th wide receiver off your board.
Yeah, Dez Bryant last year finished 25th, and that's with missing four games last year. So I'm still pretty comfortable with Dez Bryant throwing him out there. And if you're relying on him to be a number one, I'm questioning a little bit, but a high-end number two, I'm fine with it.
He still had, while missing four games, nine games at 10 points or more, and had four games at 20 points or more. So a third of his season, he scored 20 points or more. That's crazy.
Dez Bryant, he's a red zone threat. That's what he's done the best in his whole career. He gets those jump balls. He can get open in the red zone, and that's what he's known for. He's known for catching touchdowns, and that's what he's best at.
So let's move on here to the best running back, maybe, in the National Football League right now. Obviously debatable. Obviously there's a lot of guys there, but one, Ezekiel Elliott, change the face, change the game plan, change the mentality of the Dallas Cowboys behind that fantastic offensive line. Ezekiel Elliott, absolutely dirty last year. The number two ranked fantasy running back in standard leagues. Went out there and was just dirty. I don't know how else to phrase it. Over 1,600 yards rushing, 15 rushing touchdowns, over 300 yards receiving. That's he was actually just under the total yards from scrimmage under 2,000. What was it? 1,994 yards, total yards from scrimmage. Had 16 total touchdowns. Ridiculous. Just under 300 total points in fantasy football. What else can you say about him? Fantastic. He jumped in a pot at one point. It was ridiculous.
The best thing about Zeke Elliott is his consistency. He didn't have one game last year where he scored under 10 points. And that's something you have to love. He's consistent, a great football player in general, not just only when he's touching the football. One of the best blocking running backs in the NFL. And dude's going to be a force for a long, long time.
And it should be noted he was the number two power ranked running back in fantasy without playing in Week 17.
Yep.
And the funny thing is, him jumping in the pot, he got in trouble for, right?
Yep.
I don't think they got any suspension time.
No, not a suspension.
Or any fine.
Oh, he didn't get a fine?
I don't think so.
Or he got a flag, right?
Yes.
So, with this year, with the new rule change, I believe he can jump in the pot all he wants from now on.
No, yeah. And there will be no flag. This rule change is messed up anyway because it still leaves it to the ref's discretion if they want it. So, basically, if Zeke pisses off the ref throughout the game, he can still throw a flag. It's stupid. It means he probably won't get fined for it, but you can still see a flag.
The one thing that really impresses me about Ezekiel Elliott is his 40 targets out of the backfield, and he catches 32 of them. That number is a very big number, in my opinion. I like that a lot. And if he can grow that number by 20 more targets, I would feel so much better with him in fantasy. I would even consider him possibly my number two running back, depending on who was drafting David Johnson, who was drafting Le'Veon Bell.
Well, his ability to whip out a titty in an Irish parade and not go to jail is probably one of my favorite things about him. But I digress. Ezekiel Elliott, an absolute beast and easily a top two to top three running back going into the 2017 fantasy season. That's all I have for fantasy. I don't know if you guys want to add anything.
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good. Where do we see our Dallas Cowboys ending at the end of this year?
Dallas Cowboys are going to regress from a fantastic season last year. They are going to go 11-5, tie with the New York Football Giants, but lose out in a tiebreaker.
I completely disagree and agree with you, Tom. They're going to finish 11-5, but are going to run away with the division. Closest division mate outside of him is either at 8-8 or 9-7. Listen, the Dallas Cowboys are another team. They have to go to Denver in Week 2. They have to go to the Arizona Cardinals in Week 3. They have to go to San Francisco. They have to go to the Oakland Raiders. These cross-country trips. The NFC East got hosed a little bit. But the Dallas Cowboys are a much better team, much more well-equipped to deal with some of these adversities. Go 2-2, 3-1 on these trips. Still dominate the division. I see them going 11-5 as well, Tom, but winning the division outright.
12-4 for me, kind of the same reasons. They got some tough games. They play the Packers this year. They play the Falcons. Those teams are going to be very tough. And, of course, they play each division team twice. And then a couple of the other games that they have, Raiders and Seahawks. Those are going to be tough tests later down by the end of the season. So, plus they play the Rams, man. Who knows with the Rams? They suck. They suck, but, man, they can surprise you. Their defense sometimes is lights out.
Yeah,
really depends.
Jared Goff has the hands of a three-year-old.
They win the games they're not supposed to, and they lose the games that they're supposed to win. So just remember that when this season's coming up. So who knows? I'm going to go with 12 wins.
I like it.
All right. Well, that's all we have for you guys. Hope you enjoyed our breakdown of the Dallas Cowboys. If you guys have not checked out our previous breakdowns for the NFC East, please do yourselves a favor. Check out the Giants, the Redskins, and the Eagles. Leave a comment. Let us know what you guys think. We will respond. Hit us up on Twitter at Pony Keg Sports, at Pony Keg Tom, and at Pony Keg Tim. Hit us up on our website, ponykegsports.com. Check out our buddies on CleatGeeks.com. Hit them up on Twitter at CleatGeeks. Let them know that we are the ones that sent you. They got a bunch of articles, a bunch of baseball ones that are coming out right now. So if you guys like baseball and football, they're doing both.
And they have the 2014 Kentucky Bassmaster Classic replays going on right now. Make sure to check those out.
All right, guys. Hope you enjoyed, and see you next time.